Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
As a novel, Peter Seidel's new book, 2045, falls flat. But as a cautionary vision of a future 35 years hence, it offers a lot to think about. 2045 tells the story of one Carl Lauer, a lumberyard owner in Appleton, Wisconsin. His flu vaccination in 2010 goes horribly awry. Carl's bad reaction to the vaccine almost kills him, but medical researchers manage to instead put him into suspended animation. 35 years later, in 2045, someone finds a way to reanimate Carl's body. He awakens, still in a body that seems 40 years old, to a world that is very different than the one he remembers as though it were yesterday. It's a dystopian world, though it has some bright spots. All-out nuclear war has been avoided. Climate chaos has proceeded apace, but without passing any tipping point that would cause sudden, catastrophic changes. Technological development has also proceeded apace. There's no longer enough liquid fuel for anyone but the rich or super-rich to fly or drive, but the U.S. has built out a high-speed rail network that crisscrosses the country. The railroad even has a neat feature that solves a long-standing dilemma for public transit. More stations increase people's access, but they also make the overall trip take longer. Think the local bus stopping at every town versus the express bus. In 2045, a high-speed train covers the 400 miles from Chicago to Minneapolis in 2 hours with no stops. But from stations along the way, passengers can join the train by catching up to it in satellite trains called pods that discharge their passengers into the main train and then return to the station. Much of Peter Seidel's 2045 revolves around Carl visiting friends and relatives, learning about changes in the world from what they tell him and what he sees along the way. Beyond that, there's a plot that involves Carl being recruited as a spokesperson for a new soft drink. He gets sucked into the world of the super-rich, who now live primarily on 3 islands in the Caribbean, where the world's remaining 8 megacorporations have set up fiefdoms. He learns that very much of Africa is slowly starving to death, and that the corporations are censoring their news outlets to keep the mass famine from leaking out. His efforts to publicize the famine lead the corporation that hired him to try to hunt him down, and his efforts to escape lead him to meet a small band of people resisting the world's corporations. It's not the plot that interested me, though I admit to reading the book in 2 sittings. It's certainly not the quality of the writing, which at times is jarringly bad. What's interesting to me is a world that author Peter Seidel creates 35 years from now that is a plausible extension of present trends. John Michael Greer writes about 2 dominant myths about the future, either unlimited progress to a Star Trek world or Armageddon. Seidel's 2045 embraces both technological progress and the unpleasant consequences from today's technologies and living choices while avoiding Armageddon. For example, climate chaos plus aquifer depletion have made northern Mexico and the southwestern United States nearly uninhabitable. Carl's hometown of Appleton, Wisconsin, has grown from about 72,000 today to 500,000 in 2045, as populations have migrated north. Appleton has become more walkable and bikeable, but that's occurred in part by stuffing multiple families into McMansions that have been subdivided into, well, McApartment blocks, you could say. Communications technology has advanced beyond the smartphone to braiders, short for vibrators, that are surgically implanted into people's skulls and play music directly into their inner ear. People who are too poor to afford the operation can get it for free, but they can't turn theirs off for 12 hours a day, and their channel has a lot of commercials. As I said, the writing in Peter Seidel's 2045 isn't great, but the world he creates is haunting. It stuck with me. I'd previously thought some about what world I want to see in 20 or 40 years, and how to get there. It was valuable for me to look at what world we could be getting in 35 years with business as usual. It's a world I'd rather avoid. I'm Carl Etnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.